In the southern deserts around Tucson, the Hohokam flourished. Desert farmers, who were first identifiable in archaeological sites, around AD 300, and their culture endured and flourished until 1500. For many centuries, their ceremonial life and trading activity centered around places like Snake Town, a major Hohokam settlement near the Gila River in southern Arizona. The Hohokam traded with other parts of the Southwest. Again, you've got interconnectedness. They even obtained seashells from the distant Pacific coast. And they acquired tropical bird feathers and other luxuries from Mexico. There again, there was a widespread trading pattern, which endured and changed over many centuries. Again, Hohokam did not vanish completely. The cultural heirs of Hohokam are the Odahom people of today. Southwestern Pueblo societies developed into theocracies, a form of government that regulated religious and secular affairs through both individuals like chiefs and kin groups, or through associations or secret societies centered on kivas, which cut across kin lines. These mechanisms, which clearly were in place in Chaco Canyon, at Mesa Verde, in Hohokam, fostered a sense of community and allowed for communal works, such as irrigation. Southwestern Pueblo culture was unique and a magnificent and brilliant adaptation to an extremely demanding and unpredictable drought-ridden environment. It is astounding what was achieved, but it was only achieved by having a system of government which was extremely flexible, which correlated very carefully ritual and secular concerns. And always here, very important, were the ties of kin, the relationships between individuals, the obligations of reciprocity between family and relatives, which helped enormously in times of scarcity, especially in an environment with very localized rainfall. What about the history of maize and bean agriculture elsewhere in North America? We know that maize and bean agriculture spread across the southern plains into the eastern woodlands of North America during the first millennium AD. This was somewhat later than the Southwest. But we also know that long before this, local river valley populations in some areas, in areas with exceptionally abundant and diverse food supplies, the populations had increased to the point that the mobility of many hunter-gatherer groups was restricted. And as we said way back, some of these groups began to cultivate native plants like goosefoot. At the same time, too, we find the first signs of social ranking and an increasing preoccupation with ancestors, burial, and life after death. I am eerily reminded of the great emphasis on ancestor worship in ancient Europe, where communal burials are thought to have marked the borders of territories and to have been a symbolic link between the living and the ancestors who were the guardians of the land. And it's very interesting to note that between about 500 BC and AD 400, elaborate mortuary cults flourished over a wide area of the eastern woodlands. They were marked by a frenzy of earthwork and burial mound construction. And it is these earthworks which caused a major controversy in the 19th century, when the first European settlers came over and the Appalachians and the Alleghenies and started cultivating and clearing forest in the Ohio Valley. They came across all these earthworks, and the few Indians who still survived there had no idea who'd built them. And they came into being this myth of the mound builders, of an ancient European civilization that had built these earthworks and created a now vanished highly civilized culture in the Midwest, only to be wiped out by incoming Indians.